This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. And coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk with a couple of our favorite guests, Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. And they've brought, Carol has brought a special guest with us. More about that in a minute. But we need to take care of a little business here. This is listener-supported WILL, and our spring membership campaign is underway. So we need to take care of a little business. Mm-hmm. Jay Pierce, our station manager, is with us in the studio.
Yeah, Jay. Well, we hope to take care of a little business, and that is by having you call 244-9455. That's area code 217-244-9455, or logging on to willpledge.org and making a gift of $40, $52, $75 in support of the programs that you depend on here on WILL and that your friends and neighbors depend on. Because when you make a contribution to this radio service, you're supporting the dialogue of the community, the information programs, the access that you'll get in a program like today's on dog behavior for not only yourself, but for thousands of others throughout the area. You're really making a difference in the community. To have access to information and experts like Jim and Carol and Andy, who's in the studio with us today. You'll get to meet Andy in a moment. Just gave her a big head scrunch. She seemed to like that. To have access to people like this, to call in and get information, to ask questions, to share stories, to share information that you might have, to help each other out. That's what it's all about here at this radio station. And if this is a valuable service to you, think about how many times you listen. And then think of all of the others who listen and benefit from the information that happens here. And, I think that you'll come to the conclusion this really is a great community resource. So when you call 244-9455 and you make your dollar a week contribution or $2 a week, that'd be $104. Or if you can afford $250, that's great. You're helping in a substantial way to provide this service to the communities that you live in and that others live in the WILL area. So I hope you'll take a moment, consider that, and then call in with your contribution and call in and be a part of the show today, too. Thank you much.
Thank you, Jay. Dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us this afternoon. They join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Good to see you again, and thanks for bringing in this beautiful guest.
I thought it would inspire people to pick up that phone and call and make a pledge.
Our guest is Andy, and this is Carol's doodle.
She's my dude. She's about two now. 2 years old.
Yeah, she's a happy dog. She's stealing the show here in the station.
She's pretty. She's got a very engaging little personality. I'll have to be the first to admit that.
So, listeners, if you'd like to talk with our guests, Jim and Carol, give us a call. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Those are the numbers if you'd like to talk with Carol and Jim.
Hey, let's see if we can get the headphones on Andy here. She might have some insights that humans just don't have.
Yeah.
She'd say, I hate this gentle leader. She's wearing her gentle leader right now because my back is bothering me, and every tug, you can feel it. Mm-hmm. And I find that the gentle leader is quite an effective tool for keeping them from dragging you everywhere they want to go, and you don't care to keep up that pace. So,
she's a beauty.
She's a cutie pie, isn't she?
Yeah, she sure is.
But I will say, for those that can't see her, but she is high maintenance. Her coat is high maintenance. Because
is it?
She mats very easily. She's got a very fine undercoat. I keep her, I brush her every day. And even with that, we'll still mat at times. So they're not these poodle crosses are not as easy. Some might be, and some might not. I shouldn't be paint with such a broad stroke brush.
But does her hair keep growing or does it stop?
It keeps growing.
So you have to have her trimmed.
I don't clip it, scissor it off. But some are very curly when she gets wet. Her hair gets real curly, but she's got more of the wavy coat.
We call it the frizzies.
The frizzies. More of the wavy coat. But and you can see, too, I was starting to see some hairs accumulate on Jim's pants. She sheds as well, yeah. So that
well, back in supposedly the studio,
no shedding. I have a feeling those aren't hers.
Oh, they might not be.
Yeah.
But they're supposedly non-shedding, but all dogs do shed. Some just less than others, but they will all shed.
Yeah. Well, so. Animal lovers, we don't mind the
No.
Mm-mm. We don't mind the fur.
No, it doesn't bother me in the least. It doesn't bother Jim and Robin.
It's a shame that this dog was surrendered, probably at a nice family home, but they discovered that she shed.
Mm-hmm.
And to a dog lover, that's not a variable. It's like, yeah, okay.
Comes with the territory.
Comes with the territory.
They,
so.
They pant, too. Right, Andy?
I think our listeners might be able to hear her panting.
Yeah, yeah, she's panting.
Yeah. She's very happy, though. She's sitting down now, but she was wandering around a little bit here in the studio, and her tail was just wagging.
She's pretty unflappable, but she didn't like the I thought I'd had her here before. Obviously, I didn't. She didn't mind the elevator. She didn't like the shiny floors and the open when you get off the elevator that's open into the atrium, that she wasn't too fond of. She kind of slunk along the wall until she got accustomed to it.
You know, next time if you bring her in, come up through the back door of the elevator.
Oh, but you know, it's good to get them exposed to different things. I mean, she was certainly in no danger or jeopardy, but it was just something that she hadn't experienced, and we just jollied her through it.
Yeah. Like, jollied her through
jollied
it?
Jollied her through it. We just kept right on going. It's not going to hurt. But she was happy to see some carpeting. She was familiar with carpeting.
Listeners, if you've got a question about dogs, give us a call. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Jim, what's happening out at Poker Flats?
We have a puppy that was delivered, a one-litter puppy. And people say, you have one-litter puppy? Yeah. We've had 14 puppy litters. We've had one-litter puppy, I keep saying. One puppy litter, more correctly. But we've had 14 puppy litters. We've had one puppy. There's kind of a bell curve. The average is six. But it's a legitimate one puppy, no other puppies. And
yeah, you should talk about the challenges with one puppy because they don't have litter mates to interact with. And
one of the big problems with single puppy litters is they don't have litter mates to – oh, you already said that.
I was just giving you the opening.
The big problem is the litter mates actually teach the puppies not to bite because they bite each other and they go, ah, and they learn to inhibit their bites or not to bite when they're 4 to 6, 7 weeks old. Well, when you have a singleton puppy, there ain't nobody to teach him that. So he uses the next best thing, either his mother, who's always usually very tolerant of being bit because it doesn't hurt that much, or us. So you have this puppy with these needle teeth going, oh, let's play. And if you're not ready for it, it can hurt.
It hurts awfully hard. Yeah. It's painful.
Well, and if they're not inhibiting the bite, they're biting as hard as they can. Well, as a puppy, it's not that hard, but it's just like having pins stuck in you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you end up going, ah! Screaming, and that's a problem. And the humans don't teach the way mother or other dogs teach, so that's a big problem. The other problem is mom is producing enough milk for 6, 10 puppies, only one. So on his end, he looks like a little tick. And on her end, we worry about mastitis because he can't drink all that milk, and it'll tend to harden. And so we got to keep an eye on that. Those are just some of the problems.
It's interesting.
It's not all beer and Skittles.
But they're cute.
This dog raising business.
2 weeks.
Today. And we'll try to bring him next time if I...
Oh, okay.
I can remember. He'll be 6 weeks old. And
bring the puppy pads and...
Oh, he can pee anywhere. That's okay.
Andy, you didn't hear that, did you?
No.
You're beyond that.
So what's going on with the dog training club?
Orientation. I'm the director of training this year.
Aren't you so happy with that job?
Yeah. Carol was director of training.
I did it so many times, I'll never do it again.
I walked into it blind. I thought being president was hard, but director of training is just a lot of work. And we created the office in 1997. I strike that.
It was early.
1970s.
Yeah, I was going to say.
1970, when we had maybe two classes. And now how many do we have?
Oh.
Four, eight. We've got about 20 classes.
Yeah.
And the director of training job has grown exponentially, but it still has the same job description. So
it's scheduling the classes and having the instructors, and we've got an excellent
staffing
registrar.
Everything.
That, you know, but it's a lot of work. But Jim's handled it quite well.
Not unerringly so far, but we had orientation last night, and just one of the things I'm learning, I'm also responsible for photocopying all the handouts that we give during the class. Well, there are about 40 people in the class. It's 400. There are 10 classes. There's four. It's about 1,000 things. So, I take it to a reproduction place here in town. And they got the order a little bit screwed up. I get back to my office. I got 1,000 pages to – actually, I didn't want it collated. They collated it. So I spent like 2 hours uncollating everything.
Oh,
it was just – and I walked into the orientation 5 minutes late. They thought I wasn't going to show up. They were making – Jim's not here. Dwayne, you have to give the speech. And so I showed up. But that – and I didn't have my notes. I was admiring Jay here.
Speaking note-free?
Speaking with no notes. And I thought it was just a perfect it was a short presentation, but I'm thinking, boy, he's said similar things, I realize. But it was all logical. It all flowed together. He mentioned the phone number, which is what?
244-9455. That's the number if you want to make a pledge of financial support. And we're trying to raise some serious money over the next couple of days.
So we can keep little Andy on the air?
That's right. So we can
see how we got that seamlessly in? That was pretty good.
Okay.
But I was admiring that, and I made the speech without notes, and it was just awful.
How about
we have
you
a call?
Your headphones on, and we'll talk with a listener. And listeners, if you'd like to join us and talk with Carol and Jim, here are the numbers to call. In the Champaign-Urbana area, the number is 333-9455. And then we have that toll-free number, 800-222-9455. Let's talk with a listener now on the toll-free line in Charleston. Hi.
Hi. I have a new puppy question. She's about 12 weeks old. She's part lab and part shepherd. She's a pound puppy. And is there any surefire way to get her from not chewing your feet? Like when you're walking or when you're taking her out, she's just horrible.
It's like shedding. I mean, it just goes with the territory. That's how puppies
grow out of that. Is that what you're saying?
It's how they explore. Does she chew on your bare feet or your shoes or
shoes? Basically, shoes.
Yeah. Well, the easiest thing to do is spray your shoes with bitter apple. It doesn't taste very good, and she'll learn to leave those alone. And we went through when Robbie was a puppy. He was very oral, but that's the retriever in him. But I went through quite a bit of bitter apple.
What? When is your pup biting your shoes? Just all the time, or
like when I she's real good about going out on the leash, but when I take her out to pee, then she's after she does that, then she's just obsessed with my feet.
What my cure for almost everything, like getting a dog into a crate, getting him out of a crate, just take little cookies with you.
Okay.
And as soon as she's done peeing, she's going to come over and start nipping at your feet.
Right.
Because you're smarter than she is. She doesn't even know she's going to do it. And as soon as she comes over, you show her the cookie and throw it a little distance away from you.
Okay.
And she'll, that'll redirect her, and she'll get the cookie. And you may have to do that a couple times, but I think she'll forget about your feet.
Okay.
And she'll start looking at your, your face and saying, "Where's my cookie?" Is that all? But at least you won't be looking at your feet.
That was good, Jim.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, puppies have no memory or attention span whatsoever. As soon as you divert them from it, they're off of it.
Yeah. The other thing I suppose would be anything that you mentioned. Robbie is a retriever, and he was kind of oral.
Mm-hmm.
So have a a ball? Or
oh, yeah. Sure. And stuffed toys. Mm-hmm. We've got stuffed toys all over the house.
You can always, anytime I say cookie, if you have a retrieving dog, Reed, you know, rope or toy or ball. I've got Malamutes. They could care less about balls. You know, you throw the ball, they kind of look at it. So look at you.
Here's one of the little cookies. Now, see how tiny those cookies are? These are little puppy treats. And
I would say that's about...
Since Jim commented that Andy's fat.
And she's even breaking it in half.
Yeah, I break them in half because it's not... You don't have to give them like a gigantic piece of food. Just a little morsel.
Happy, happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Makes was about the size of a Cheerio.
I think. Mm-hmm. It was pretty small.
Yeah. And she's much bigger. She's... Well, I won't mention poundage because...
She's a little chubby.
Yeah, she's probably about the 70-pound dog.
Yeah, about that.
Listeners, if you'd like to join us this afternoon here on the program, if you'd like to talk with Carol and Jim, give us a call. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dog care, behavior, and training. So if you're new to the area and you just tuned in and just found us, well, welcome. And join us with a question, a comment, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. So you mentioned classes, but are some beginning now? You didn't mention if they're
orientation for the home companion is kind of the first class, although people meet without dogs. And it's kind of more indoctrination so people know what the club rules are and where to exercise the dog and those kinds of things. Next week, actually, next Monday, starts all the classes officially with dogs. And that'll go to, end of May.
Yeah,
end
of May first sometime. Of June.
Okay. Let's sneak in one more caller here, and then Jay Pierce is going to be back with us. That'll be fun. Okay. Listener in St. Joseph, line one. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling about my daughter has a dog, and it is a cross between a Australian Shepherd, with a small or mini Australian Shepherd, and a lab. And... her brother also has a brother to that dog, but they want to lick. They just have this obsession with licking people and things. Like my daughter has a cat, and he just, whenever he's around that cat, he just wants to lick her all the time also. What is that, a trait or what?
I don't think it's not a trait of labs, and the minis I've met...
Well, the mini, the mother, she really liked me also, and she kind of always wanted to lick me.
Licking is a submissive gesture on the part of the dog. It's kind of surprising.
They're submitting to you?
Yeah, it's a puppy. It's a throwback from their puppy days.
Oh.
Licking the cat is a little unusual. That makes me start to think, well, maybe it's not the submissive gesture, but... the same technique should apply. If the dog starts licking and you don't like it, if you have a ball or a toy, throw it. If you have a cookie, throw it. Anything to divert the attention of the dog. The other thing is if the dog is being licking submissively, what you don't want to do is yell at it or do anything harsh, because that will – just make them want to, they'll say, oh, I better be even more submissive, and they'll just start licking you more. You can ignore it, or what I would do is praise them, good dog, give them a cookie, and that may stop it if it is, in fact, you know, they're coming up to you and saying, I'm submissive to you, and you acknowledge that by doing some grand dominant thing like petting them or giving food to them is a fairly dominant thing.
Well, usually what I've been doing is putting my hand up, you know, flat, like at their face,
and they lick the
and say no, and they'll finally, you know, quit.
How old are they?
Well, the black lab mix is a little over a year, just a little over a year.
Okay, so they're...
he's a big dog too, and he doesn't seem to want to settle at all. He's just very kind of needy. He just needs attention all the time.
Some exercise might, I don't know how much exercise he's getting.
Well, she does pretty good, gets him out for a good walk in the morning before she goes to work. Of course, then again, she's gone all day, and then again at night, a good walk and plays with him.
Are you the only one?
On play dates with other friends' dogs where they
that's good.
Get to run.
Is the dog alone with you all day? Are you the only one there, or is the other dog there?
No, he's alone, period.
Yeah, they're social animals, and he's looking to you for, interaction, or the cat for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
But other things we've done is getting toys that you put food in.
She's got that.
How about soup bones with marrow?
He's got big chew bones, but he wants somebody to hold it.
You know, we're sitting here. There's four of us in this room, and Andy's going from one to the other.
Yeah.
She gets all the attention in the world, but she's soliciting attention from each one of us because dogs just crave attention from us.
She likes me best, though.
It's okay. Only for an hour.
They always said that I was there when they were born and, for several days. And they said, they just remember that from when they were born, that you were there. And that's why they just really have this, liking and wanting to
They love their grandma.
Well, that's probably true. And but to get her to stop, get the dogs to stop doing it, just find something else for them to do. In other words, don't yell at them. That just makes them want to do it more.
Yeah. Well, there we will leave that bit of advice. And joining us in the studio now, Jay Pearson. Jay, you've gotten your share of attention from Andy this afternoon.
Yeah, but Andy likes Jim better because he was rubbing milk bones all over his hands before he came in here. That was the secret. He knows.
You think that's the secret?
No,
it's actually liver.
Yeah.
liver,
yeah.
Even better.
Andy is a great dog. Just beautiful. And, to get the kind of information to be able to call in and access the kind of information that Jim and Carol bring on a regular basis when they make their regular appearances, or, access it online later if you don't catch the show or if you want to hear something. Nobody has invented the TiVo radio. When you're driving along in your car and you hear something, you go, what was that? You can't just hit a button and go back to it like you can when you're watching cable TV or satellite or something. But you can go home and get on your computer later and you can call this show up and listen to it again. Or if you hear something that you think somebody else might want to know about, you can forward it to them. So you never miss an afternoon magazine. You can podcast it. And you can put it in your MP3 player and carry it along with you and listen to it at your convenience. All made possible by your call to 244-9455. Your contribution of $52, dollar a week. $2 a week, that's $104, $250. Some people are giving, $1,000 a year, which seems like an astronomical amount of money. But that's less than I pay for cable. At our family household. And you think of all you get from WILL Radio and all that your friends and neighbors and people in all of the communities we serve get. And Andy's over here. Right? And you want to say something? You want to give us a little testimonial here about Jim and Carol? No? Okay.
She's a sweetheart of a few words.
When you call 244-9455, your contribution is making this great service available to thousands and thousands of people, not only in East Central Illinois, from Chicago to Terre Haute, but all over the world via the Internet. And willpledge.org is another place you can go and use your credit card. It only takes a minute to make your contribution. You decide what the service is worth to you and what you're willing to put in to help make it available to all of those who depend on it throughout the year. And then you call 217-244-9455, or you can use our toll-free number, and that's 866-779-9455, or you log on to willpledge.org and you make your contribution, and then you know that you're really helping make a big difference. You've done your part. You're making a big difference in the lives of a lot of people who value and depend upon this service.
Again, that phone number, 244-9455, and toll-free 866-779-9455. 855. Thanks, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Pierce, our station manager. Well, now let's go back to the lines where if you give us a call, you can talk with Carol and Jim, 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. Next, we go to a listener on line two in Champaign. Good afternoon.
Hi. I have a Malamute, a 9-year-old male, and I had a question about some of his behavior when we have company. He really loves people, and he'll maybe a little bit too much. Some people have said, "Oh no, that's dominant behavior. That's not that he likes people." But I don't know. But I just think he loves people. Anyway, when people come, he'd be kind of barky, which is okay. It's Malamutes; they're kind of talky. But he'll like want to sit on the couch beside someone, or he'll kind of press them, you know. Some people don't care; they love dogs, and but other people don't, and so it's difficult to keep him in a sit or a stay when other people are around. And in about 15 minutes, it's all good, and he kind of ignores people and goes on about his business. But there's that initial time frame, which I'm not exactly sure what to do. And sometimes he gets kind of grouchy, you know, because it's kind of that, not really growly, but kind of rah, 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 which kind of freaks people out. If I, like, take him by the collar and pull him away. So I'm just not sure, like, what's the right thing to do for him in the most positive light and for not to scare people when he does that.
It recalls a time years ago, we had a friend over, a very good friend, and we're sitting around the living room, and one of our dogs came in and decided to announce his presence. They went, "Oh, oh, oh," like,
yes.
And we said, "Hey, you know, be quiet. We have company." We looked around it, and Larry was gone. Where did he go? And he was hiding behind the chair. And I said, all he's doing is talking.
Call of the wild.
Yeah, yeah. And it's those things happen. I don't know how to make people not be afraid of the Malamutes, but they do talk a lot. And they're fairly vocal, and they don't really bark that much. Ours don't anyway, but they howl, they talk. When you say the dog gets grouchy and kind of grumbles, do you think he's growling at you, or is he just complaining that he's not in on the action?
I think the listener is hung up.
Oh.
To take the answer on the air, as
okay.
We say.
Well, I don't think you're doing anything wrong. The traditional thing is to train your dog, whether he's a Malamute or a poodle or a doodle, to when somebody comes to the door, go to the kitchen or go to a rug or something and reward them. To train that, you can't wait till people come over at random. You have to set it up so that you can do it several times and repeat it and reward the dog. Malamutes there's a lot of greeting behavior. And we just let the dogs knock into people and knock them over and do whatever they do. Robin's going, "Our dogs don't knock people over." Well, that's true, but they do crowd them and rub against them. And that way people don't come over and bother us. You know, they'll come over once. And if they can handle it, then they're welcome. If they can't, you know, then stay away. But, yeah, Malamutes, I think more than a lot of other breeds, greet. There's just a big greeting ritual. And they rub on you, and they yell and scream, and she's right. 15 minutes, I think, is too long. It's maybe 3 minutes, and the dogs go, "Well, that's it. You're not feeding me. You're not giving me cookies. See you later," and then they're gone.
The listener is back now.
Oh.
Somehow or other, she got cut off. So let's go back and do a little follow-up here. Line two, hi.
Hi. I wanted to ask you, when you said that about the growling, I don't feel like he's growling at me when that happens, but I have had, we've taken him to the vet or to the groomer, if someone, particularly a man, takes a hold of him, and you can sweet talk him into doing anything, then, you know, a bath, anything, if you speak nicely, but he does not like to be grabbed by the collar and kind of manhandled, which I wouldn't like that either, but, wouldn't want that behavior to be progressive, I guess, so I guess I kind of like to ask about that, too.
Well, it's a little difficult. There are growls and there are growls. There are growls of complaint, like, "I don't want to do this, but I'm submitting." And there are growls of, "Get your hand off my neck or I'm going to bite you." And you have to really hear the growl in order to determine. And I think it, but I go on, you know, if you think it's a threatening growl, then it probably is. And what I usually do is just yell at the dog, say, shut up, because I'm dominant to the dog. Shut up, quit your growling. And they stop. In other words, as much as they may not like being handled, they like even less my disapproval of them growling. That's not really training, though. That's just, you know, social status.
I think putting him on a leash, when, instead of grabbing him by the collar, since he has indicated he doesn't like that, then when people come over, just put a house line on him and then just pull him off the couch without touching his collar. And then you eliminate that part that he doesn't like, but you still achieve the same result.
Okay, okay.
You got to be you got to be careful with the house line that you don't have it. You don't leave it on him.
Right.
You know, when you're not around, those things can get hung up on things and choke the dog. But it's handy if especially a dog like this or a dog that won't sit still long enough for you to grab him. You don't have to, or it snaps at you or something. You can just go 6 feet away, grab
the line.
And then,
you know, give him a little reward for complying with your request, too.
But what would be better is have a friend come over and just knock on the door. You're ready. You know, the dog runs to the door. You lead him either by the line or by the collar to the kitchen. Give him some food there and say, good dog, good dog, and then do it all over again. And, you know, it's kind of Pavlovian. Knock on door, run to kitchen, get food.
Okay.
And that way you can avoid the when people come to the door, and I was thinking about this the other day, in terms of humans, we go, you know, to my brother's or somebody for Christmas, and you walk in the door and the family's there. And as soon as we walk in the door, everybody's, oh, hello, hello. And there's a big greeting ritual for families that get together after, you know, a period of time of not being together.
Right.
And it's the same with dogs. There's a greeting ritual that they go through. And if you have family or friends that don't like that, then, you know, get rid of them or take the dog and put it in the kitchen. As I say, what we do is if they can't handle it, you know, don't come to our place.
Well, that's a good point, because it seems like a lot of times when people see him, because he's very impressive looking, and they don't see Malamute that often, they're like, oh, my God, what a beautiful dog, and they start talking kind of in a high voice. And then he really, you know, I think he kind of emulates that.
Oh, yeah, that's a very friendly way to talk to him, and he would love it. I mentioned my brother. Well, he's an idiot, and the first time he saw one of our Malamutes, we had a boxer when we were kids, and you could stand over her and kind of flip her front feet, and she'd roll and somersault, and she really liked that. So he stands over her. Brett grabs his front legs and flips him, and I thought Brett was going to come back and kill him. I went, what are you doing? Well, I thought all dogs like, no, they don't. You just don't go up to a dog you don't know and flip him over. I mean, even Brett, who was a pussycat, he just didn't. He didn't like that. So, yeah, if you start talking in a high-pitched voice, that's how we tell people to train the dog, because dogs really like that. And so if people come in, oh, well, look at the little puppy. Of course he's going to come up to them and keep greeting them, which is perfectly all right. I don't think that's not dominant behavior. Actually, it's submissive behavior. Dominant behavior is if he got on the couch and you tried to get him off and he attacked you. That would be dominant.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Next, we talk with a listener in Champaign on line 3. Hi.
Hi. It's a little late here, but I was just going to say that I have two Australian shepherds who do like to lick us, but we have just gotten to say, okay, that's enough for now, and they understand that. And we thank them. It's thank you. That's very nice.
You don't yell at them, or
no.
Yeah, yeah. You acknowledge their licking and say, oh, thank you. Now stop.
See, I don't like to be licked either. So when you know,
but it just seems like an easy thing to do for the other caller there.
Yeah, I think she was trying to use more punishment. I don't want to say punishment, but you know,
right.
And that only makes the dogs, I think, just makes them lick more. And it, so it's counterproductive.
Right.
Yeah. It was licking the cat that was a little unusual. Because they don't want to be submissive to a cat.
Right.
So I think there's something else going on, but I don't know what.
Right. But anyway.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
And thanks for the call. And we're going to take another call now. Listener in Urbana on line one. Hi.
Hello. Hello.
Hi there.
I had a comment and a question back to the lady in the shoes. A lot of dogs are sort of love leather type stuff, so I was thinking that maybe if she was walking in leather shoes that she might try switching to canvas. And then when you first came on, you said something about you were using a general leader.
A gentle leader.
Mm-hmm. Gentle leader. What exactly is that?
A gentle leader is a really wonderful tool. It would put you in mind of a head halter that you would see on livestock. As I'm holding this in my hands, like she can see what I'm doing. But it goes around the dog's muzzle, up under the eyes, and then up behind their ears. It's clasped back there. And it just gives you an extraordinary amount of control over a dog that tends to pull a lot.
Yeah,
and
that
it does work.
That sounds quite wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of, I'm not sure what this looks like, but like, let's say a halter type thing. Is that something that you would leave on a dog, or do you think that's
no.
dangerous?
No. I use it only for periods of time when we're out walking together. She
okay.
does not wear it in the house all the time.
Okay, thanks.
You're very welcome for that. And let's take another call. Listener on line two in Champaign. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Fine. I've got a question about, I've got a six-year-old Yorkie, and he'll bark and whine when he wants food, and then I'll put it in the bowl, and then he'll keep whining and barking. I know I've conditioned him, I guess, but how do you get him to quit whining? You know, once he gets the food, he still whines and barks. I tried, you know, getting him under the throat, not hurting him or anything, but just to let him know it's not good to do in there. I've tried petting him. And then, actually, I've got the food out by hand and give him a little piece at a time, and then he'll quit and then he'll start eating. So I guess he's conditioned to do that then, right?
No, I think you're conditioned.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
First of all, life is merrier with a Yorkshire Terrier.
Right.
I love that line.
Yeah. But the Yorkies, in particular, I mean, a lot of dogs have this talent. They can really get people doing what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the dog learns, now what's wrong with the dog whining and crying? Really nothing. He has everything. He's got a good home. He's got a good owner. He's
right.
got plenty of food. But for some reason, I don't know why, but I'm guessing that by whining and crying, he can get you to do things.
Right.
And he's learned that.
Right.
So I want food. Whine, whine, cry, cry. He gets the food.
Uh-huh.
And it may be that getting the food, I mean, we're talking metaphorically here. The dog isn't sitting there plotting, you know, the way we do. But
right.
Getting the food doesn't satisfy his desire to whine and cry, even though that's what he was doing it for.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to do further things.
It's listening attention.
Maybe it's attention.
Sure. He gets it.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
But what my suggestion that you try is say, there's your food, and if he continues crying, pick it back up.
I have done that, and then I'll set it back down, and then he'll eat it. But
mm-hmm.
he's still crying to get me to pick it up and put it up and then put it back down.
Well,
see,
pick
attention.
It up and
yeah.
wait. Don't give it to him when he cries. Give it to him when he stops crying.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because and it takes a little bit of timing because he's going to stop crying only for a second, you know.
Right.
He'll go, and he'll stop. And as soon as he stops, start to put it down. If he starts crying again, stand back up and pull the food back.
Okay.
And he'll figure out pretty soon he isn't going to get the food while he's crying.
Or right after he cries either.
Yeah, even if you're putting it down and he starts to cry, I mean, you're almost to the floor and he starts crying, pick it back up.
Okay.
He only gets it when he has stopped.
Okay.
And
okay.
so I...
I've tried letting him cry it out, you know, but he'll just keep... not all that. He won't go for a long time, but he'll go maybe 5, 10 minutes almost. So.
If what he wants is his food,
mm-hmm.
you've got the food. And you don't yell at him. You don't say anything.
Right.
All you do is wait till the moment he stops crying, you start to put it down. So that he can see you're putting it down.
Okay.
And the moment he starts crying again, because he will, you pick it back up. And he'll figure out fairly quickly that he knows he can't eat the food unless it's on the floor. And So then the strategy for him will be, how can I get him to put it on the floor? And obviously by stopping crying.
Okay.
And don't let him push you around. He's a tough little dog, but don't let him push you around.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You're very welcome. And our last caller this afternoon is on line 3 in Iroquois County, and we'll have to be a little on the brief side because we're coming down on time. Good afternoon, Iroquois County.
Hi. I just have a licking story for, it's a lab mixed dog. It was our son's. He's an adult, lives in Vermont, but the dog got very, very old and did die, but all of its lifetime, whenever our son came home from work and he wore boots, he took off his boots and the dog loved to lick his feet, his stinky, stinky feet. And he also, the dog liked to carry, they got a kitten, and the dog liked to carry the kitten around very gently in his mouth, and the cat allowed it, and they even cuddled together. But that dog had a mouth that must have been able to tolerate a lot.
Well, stinky things don't bother dogs. I suspect he liked the salt on his feet.
Oh, it was really kind of funny to watch. And our son, I guess, liked the foot massage.
I guess you can get used to anything.
It's kind of funny to contemplate, too.
Yeah, so, well, that was my only comment.
Well,
just made me remember that wonderful dog.
Thanks for sharing the story with us this afternoon.
My feet tickle.
Andy's found a new victim.
Yeah.
Yes, Martha Deal is in the studio with us. How about this pooch, huh?
Hey, I've never had such a great welcome for pledging.
As the studio door opens and either you or Jay comes in, the dog makes a beeline for the newest person in the room. And boy, she is such a wonderful dog, Carol.
Yes, she is a wonderful dog.
Yeah.
She's got a great personality. And she came from our shelter.
There you
so,
go.
So a little plug for a Humane Society adoption.
So now what we're about here is trying to raise some money, right? And we want to hear from some animal lovers this afternoon. I think that would be a fitting close to this afternoon's program. Martha Deal is one of the producers for Focus 580, and she also lends a hand on the afternoon magazine now and then as well. So we're on our way to how much money?
That, the magicians who come up with the numbers didn't pass them on to me.
$200,000
by the end
of the drive.
That's what we're on the way to, though. That's right.
So,
and we do that one call at a time from people who value the service. I know this is one of the programs that gets lots of calls, and it's fun to listen to, even though I'm not a dog owner. I am a cat person. But we encourage you to call if you value this service, and it is a service and provides you with helpful information and taking care of your pets. Number is 217-244-9455, and your call makes a difference.
It sure does. And also, you can join us online at willpledge.org. The number to call, 244-9455. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. We're on our way to that goal of $200,000, and we would also like to hear from some new friends this spring campaign. And I don't know if Jim and Carol would like to put a plug in for WILL AM 580.
Oh, I love listening to this radio station. There's no end of interesting topics that you all present.
I think they should broadcast happy news. All the stuff is just so depressing, you know.
I love Sunday morning. I love listening to Will Shorts. I just, that would not be a Sunday
Weekend
for me
edition.
Without him. I love
Says You.
Says You. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love Says You. I love the announcer on Sunday morning, and I can't think of his name with that lovely, is it German or Germanic accent?
Oh, Michael Kolisca.
Yes, when he's pronouncing the different baseball players and everything. It's just, there's so much to be said for this station.
Years ago, in Talk to Ed, I called in, and I was actually on the promo for that during the pledge seasons, but to ship a dog by plane, it can't be over 80 degrees Fahrenheit, and we had to ship a dog, and I called Ed and I said, when is it going to hit 80 degrees in O'Hare Airport today? Because I've got to know, because we can't ship the dog after it hits that. It was kind of unusual, and they used
if
that.
You've got plans
but
to
I'm,
travel,
I,
or your dog
yeah,
has plans to
we
travel?
Needed, we needed a really accurate weather prediction, and Ed gave it to us, and we were able to ship the dog in. I sent in a little contribution after that, just for that. And I think Jay sent me a letter. He probably doesn't remember. But I think that service is just great, too.
Yeah. Well, thanks for to the two of you for all the service that you've provided over the years here on the Afternoon Magazine. We go way back now.
Yes.
Many, many years. And when I think of it, I think of all the people and all the dogs, all the lives that you've touched. So thank you very much.
It was so shocking. It was 2-3 months ago the woman called and her dog was now like 14 years old. And she called when he was a puppy. But she listens to us so much and she gets so much out of it. And that's, you know, that's what makes you feel good. It's a good, worthwhile effort.
Yeah. So what we're asking for is a little do-re-mi. And just 2 or 3 minutes out of your day. 2 or 3 minutes is how long it takes to keep us on the air for another year. When you call that number, 244-9455, or go to willpledge.org, you know that you'll have your contribution done and it's out of the way. And when you tune in next time, you'll be feeling mighty good, right?
That's right.